This is VOA News. Reporting via remote, I'm Jeff Custer. Oil prices have risen as the first strong measures to limit Russia's oil profits in response to the war in Ukraine took effect. Starting Monday, the European Union is imposing an embargo on most Russian oil, and G7 nations have imposed a price cap of $60 per barrel on Russian exports to other countries. The new sanctions bring with them uncertainty about how much crude oil could be lost to the global economy through Russian retaliation or invasion. India's Foreign Minister Subramaniam Jaishankar said Monday his country has given a list of Indian products to Moscow for access to Russian markets as India seeks to narrow a growing trade deficit with Russia at a time when Moscow faces acute shortages of some crude materials due to Russian sanctions. Reuters reported last week that Moscow had sent India a list of more than 500 products for potential delivery, including parts for cars, aircrafts, and trains, as Western sanctions following Russia's invasion of Ukraine have hampered its ability to keep vital industries running. India has not joined Western sanctions in openly criticizing Moscow for its war in Ukraine, has sharply increased purchases of some products, such as Russian oil, which has cushioned Russia from some impact of the sanctions. Some Indian companies, however, reportedly balked at the idea of supplying Russia with their list of goods, as they might be viewed as by Western nations as helping the Kremlin work around the sanctions. The Indian foreign minister told reporters Monday it's just about business.
We will see where there is a demand and supply and where there is a fit. I think largely a large part of it would be determined by market, because in our country business is mostly in private sector hands. But I don't think people should read anything more into it other than the legitimate expectations of any trading country to increase its trade.
This is VOA News. An eruption from Indonesia's Mount Semeru volcano has buried homes and caused widespread damage on the island. Associated Press correspondent Charles de Ledesma reports.
The event saw thick columns of ash more than 5,000 feet high spew into the sky. Villagers in Kanja Kuning village have been busy recovering domestic items and rescuing livestock. One, Syamsul Arafin, says he's afraid to see this situation and afraid if another eruption was to happen. Improved weather conditions are allowing rescuers to resume evacuation efforts and a search for possible victims after the highest volcano in Indonesia's most densely populated island erupted. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
In a remote corner of the Western Australian outback, work has begun on the world's largest radio telescope. Astronomers say the Square Kilometre Array project is an international scientific collaboration that will be capable of searching the stars for signals of intelligent life. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports for VOA.
130,000 antennas and 200 satellite dishes will make up the Square Kilometre Array Project, or SKA. It will comprise two giant and super-sensitive telescopes at observatories in Australia and South Africa. By listening and looking deep into space, scientists hope the project can help answer some fundamental questions. Are we alone in the universe? How did the first stars come to shine? And what exactly is dark energy, the mysterious phenomena that appears to be pulling the cosmos apart? Experts have said the SKA needs to be set up far away from the disturbances of radio frequencies on Earth, like those from computers, cars, and planes. They've said it will be 8 times more sensitive than existing telescopes. The giant radio telescope is expected to be operational by the end of the decade. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Sudan's ruling generals and the nation's main pro-democracy group have signed a framework deal until elections can be held, but key dissenters have stayed out of that agreement. The deal pledges to establish a new civilian-led transitional government to guide the country to elections and offers a path forward in the wake of Sudan's stalled transition to democracy following the October 2021 coup. The deal, the first of at least two planned accords, was signed in Khartoum Monday by Sudan's two top generals and Sudan's largest pro-democracy group, the Forces of Freedom and Change. But several of Sudan's key dissenters have boycotted the deal, including Sudan's grassroots pro-democracy network. Reporting via remote, I'm Jeff Custer. This is VOA News.